sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show, and thank you so much for tuning in today. We have so much more to go to. I don't want Taylor to upset you, but I just had a second cup of coffee, and I was already riled up. I don't know why.
You were yelling a lot the first hour.
I know.
So God only knows what this one's going to bring.
Yes, it's going to be fun, though. I put out that I don't understand why Trump isn't allowed to say this, and people are like, he's the government. Well, until Kimmel actually gets fired because of Donald Trump, I think we can all relax. Like, I don't think we need to get Jane Fonda involved here. I just think it's pretty rich from all of these people who are now big mad at me on Twitter for even pointing this out. That the people who want
Fonda.
The people who want the comedian to be able to make jokes because of the First Amendment don't want the president to be able to say, nah, I think they should fire him. What's the problem with that? Did he say, I'm going to make sure they fire him, or I'm going to demand that they fire him, or else I'm going to send the government? Until he does that, it's like, take it easy with the hurt feelings. God, it's like everyone is a victim except for the guy who's getting shot at. And he doesn't want to be a victim, so it's okay. But my God, do these people. You know who else wants to be a victim? Take a listen to Chuck Todd. Talk about being the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. This is Cut 10.
Events where Trump's at him. I don't feel safe. Wherever Donald Trump
chaos is, follows him.
Chaos follows him. And you are less safe, right? If you decide to go into his orbit, you have become less safe. He does not care about your safety. He's not going to protect you if you go into his orbit, because he's always going to protect himself first. He's more likely to throw you under the bus. He's more likely to have you be the target of Iranian assassins, if you're John Bolton or Mike Pompeo. And he's going to pull any sort of federal support, right? You know, I think about when somebody using Donald Trump's words and actions targeted me and a bunch of other members of the press. You know who I didn't hear from?
Donald Trump.
Right. So the guy doesn't care when people commit violence in his name. He only cares when the violence is committed against him, and he does not see that he is a contributor to the atmospherics of the world we're living in.
I'll make sure he apologizes to you right away, Chuck Todd. Like, what are they actually asking for? Hold on. When he dodges the next bullet, I'll make sure you're his first call. I'll make sure you're his first apology. My God, the self-indulgence of these people is something to behold. It is like narcissism. And I know they love to say Trump's a narcissist, and he probably is, but they're no better. At least with Trump, it's like Trump makes everything about himself, but so does everybody else. These people make everything about themselves, and nobody cares. Nobody's like, oh, I wonder what Keith Olbermann in his basement has to say about this. They want to pretend that they're so different from him. Like, oh, he's so self-involved. He's not like us. He's not introspective. You people in the media are the most self-absorbed, out of touch, self-involved people I've ever come across. Trump doesn't hold a candle to you. And you want to talk self-important, at least with Trump, you can say what you want about him, but there's no question that the guy is the straw that stirs the drink. Everybody's talking about him, whether they love him or they hate him. Same can't be said for these people who are trying to make themselves the story. Like, I'm the one who was really in danger this whole time. So that's what's going on. This was Jimmy Kimmel's response to the whole thing. This is Cut 5.
It was a pretend roast. I said, our First Lady Melania is here. Look at her, so beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow, which obviously was a joke about their age difference and the look of joy we see on her face every time they're together. It was a very light roast joke about the fact that he's almost 80 and she's younger than I am. It was not, by any stretch of the definition, a call to assassination. And they know that. I've been very vocal for many years speaking out against gun violence in particular. But I understand that the First Lady had a stressful experience over the weekend, and probably every weekend is pretty stressful in that house. And also, I agree that hateful and violent rhetoric is something we should reject. I do, and I think a great place to start to dial that back would be to have a conversation with your husband about it.
Again, it's Trump's fault. Everything, you know, when Trump said that, what was that, Taylor, on Will, on Fresh Prince? He said, everyone's blaming me for everything. I really don't think that we had any idea how far they were going to take that, because it really is.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
And I wanted to mention here, because I don't want to spend too much time on Kimmel. I don't think he's going to be fired. Everyone can stop. You know, they're bringing out Jane Fonda to make sure he's not fired. And now they're worried about the First Amendment. This is always when they're worried about it. It's when they want to say how much they hate Jews and when they want to joke about Donald Trump getting killed. They all become very, very defensive of the First Amendment. Good to see it. Good to see you guys know what it is. Glad to see you're defending it.
I love how, though, he compared in, it wasn't an apology, but his explanation of the joke, he compared the stress of being under live gunfire to living with Donald Trump every weekend.
Jokes, Taylor. These are jokes. This is comedy. This is why they pay him the big bucks for low ratings. A lot of people were making that comparison about Roseanne. Like, she made a joke, a tasteless one, and she got fired from ABC. And they're just making the comparison of, like, why is it okay for him to make these jokes? It wasn't okay for her. And I just want to say there is a huge difference between Roseanne and Jimmy Kimmel. Roseanne brought in really good ratings for ABC. Jimmy Kimmel, not so much. And if anything, I think that Trump is giving ABC an out here, which I don't like. I think that they should have to stick by Jimmy Kimmel and pay him all of this money, and he'll get a little ratings boost. But this is the thing I love about the Democrats. They may hate Trump, and they may defend Jimmy Kimmel. Like, Eric Swalwell had the hat on at one point, the last time Jimmy Kimmel got in trouble for making an assassination all about himself and then played the victim. Eric Swalwell had the hat. He's not going to be able to do it this time. But they will pretend like they love Jimmy Kimmel. They won't actually watch him, though. It's like the same with the WNBA. They'll get all big mad if anyone says anything about the WNBA. Don't say that. This is great. Jimmy Kimmel's amazing. CNN is amazing. All these things are amazing. But they don't. They aren't willing to actually sit down. And how about even having it on in the background? Just turn on Jimmy Kimmel while you're putting your signs together for the next morning to stand on the overpass. Just have it on in the background. Give them a couple ratings. Nope, that's where they draw the line. It's like they will do so many things in order to stick it to Trump. They'll wear a mask in the year 2026, but they will not watch his program. They don't hate Trump enough to sit down and watch Jimmy Kimmel. And that's something where maybe we could bond over that. Maybe that is something that could unify the country. So that was what was going on. And all these people now are pretending like it's jokes and jokes need to be protected. Do you know during the Obama administration, there was a Republican staffer who made a comment about Obama's daughters and like the clothes they were wearing? She didn't think their outfits were appropriate. And she had to resign, or she got fired or something. There was some sort of consequence that now, I guess, is so out of bounds that anyone would even suggest that Jimmy Kimmel shouldn't be hosting this show. The double standards are something else. Now, I do want to play you a cut, because I saw a lot of people posting this, and I do think it's worth taking a listen to. When you listen to Jimmy Kimmel, and really the hatred he has for Trump, the hatred he has for Trump and for half the country, and his wife, by the way, a lot of people pointing that out today on the text line. His wife is one of his writers, and she's the one who sent out all those emails to her family, like begging them not to vote for Trump. And a lot of them didn't reply because she seems awful, so it kind of makes sense. And he's making these jokes about Trump, and he was on last night and still making these jokes about Trump. And this is what Johnny Carson did after Ronald Reagan's attempted assassination, where he was shot and wounded outside that same hotel that Trump was at on Saturday night. This was Johnny Carson opening up the Oscars in 1981. Listen carefully. You can kind of detect a little bit of a different tone from how comedians used to be. This is Cut 9.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure that all of you here and most of you watching tonight understand why we delayed this program for 24 hours. Because of the incredible events of yesterday, that old adage, the show must go on, seemed relatively unimportant. The Academy, ABC Television, and all of us connected with the show felt, because of the uncertain outcome, as of this time yesterday, it would have been inappropriate to stage a celebration. But the news today is very good, as you know. The president is in excellent condition at last reports. He's been conducting business. And he happens to be in very good spirits. After all, you must remember, this is a man who yesterday, while he was in the hospital unable to speak, wrote on a sheet of paper, "All things considered, I'd rather be in Philadelphia." So tonight, the show does go on. Now, 2 weeks ago, President Reagan videotaped an opening greeting for this occasion. We were in contact with the White House about 2 hours ago, and it was the president's express wishes that we use that introduction. And I might add, that you might like to know, that he also asked for a television set in his room so he could view this program tonight. I was, actually, the president was in such good form today, I was very tempted to call him and ask him if he had any more of those one-liners that I could use. So it is especially pleasing tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to say, here is the president of the United States.
Where's Johnny Carson? Bring back Johnny.
Seriously. And I know it's a different time, and Trump's a different president than Reagan. He has a very contentious relationship with the press. But my God, would it be so nice if any of these people, just for a minute, could be like really sincere and just say, hey, I know I make jokes, I know I do this, but I just want to point out, like, I was thinking about that today, Taylor. If one Democrat, you had Hakeem Jeffries, you had all these people doing the predictable thing of like, we're doubling down, we want warfare, we want this. Can you imagine what it would be like if a Democrat, and I'm talking about a well-known Democrat at this point, an AOC or somebody, came out with a little humility, this is all I'm saying, a tiny bit of humility, and said, I've been a part of this. This is getting really scary. A lot of people have been killed. A lot of people have been hurt on the right. I'm going to do my part to tone it down a little bit, and I would ask other people to do the same. I would be on here, Taylor, saying good for that person.
Singing
good
their for, praises, yeah.
Yeah, good for that person. And it's not a crazy ask either. It would be so refreshing to everyone in politics. And you can say, well, Trump fights with them, and Trump has true socials that are really, really aggressive too. And I comment on that. When Trump does that, I say, hey, I don't think that's appropriate. If he says anything violent or anything that can be construed as that, I say, that probably wasn't a good idea. Don't like it. Blah, 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 blah. But if you want to actually be a change maker and you want to stand out of the pack here, this pack of psychos in the Democrat Party, then yeah, you should be held to a different standard when your side is the side that keeps killing our side. You should be. That's just number one. But the second thing is, it would endear you so much to our side just to have one person. And yeah, Fetterman is the one guy, I guess. But to have one of these people change their ways right now and say, I'm going to make a change. I don't want to be part of this problem anymore. I'm going to do my part. And yeah, maybe Trump doesn't react the way you want him to, but at least you can control how you behave. At least you can stand for something and say, hey, he's still throwing out some volatile stuff, but I'm going to stay with what I said. I think we need to calm down. We need to tone down the rhetoric. But instead, they keep telling our side to do it, and we're the ones who are getting shot at. And so it feels very disingenuous. And again, I go back to humility. I think we've reached a point, Taylor, and I especially notice it with female politicians. There's been something with females right now where we're told that in order to be like a girl boss or in order to be a strong politician or whatever, we have to be so arrogant. Like the arrogance has kind of replaced humility, because that's our way of saying, would you ever ask a man that question? Would you ever require a man to be like this? And humility, it looks good on everyone. Okay, like just because you're a female, like just because you're an AOC, an Ilhan Omar, You don't have to have such contempt for everyone. You don't have to have such arrogance every time you take to the microphone. It would actually be really refreshing, and maybe some conservative women too, but I find that it's more of a problem on the left.
Oh, if, girl, baby girl.
Yeah, if they would just drop the act a little bit and come to the microphone with a tiny bit of humility and say, listen, this is scary. You know, like Caroline Leavitt was 9 months pregnant. Melania is a wife and a mother. This was a scary thing, and I feel for them. And that would, for me, that would be such a game changer, because all I see are all these women who are girl bosses and baby girl please, and they're yelling at Trump, and they're using all these expletives, and they're telling me how much of a sellout I am, and I'm not a feminist. And it's like, you all just seem so obnoxious in this effort to be equal to men, or that's what you think in your head. You've just become nasty. You've just become really nasty. And I would implore people to just give it a beat. And maybe your party's not going to do it, but you can be the one to do it. And you can actually, all they want to do is stand out. That would be the way to stand out right now. The way to stand out right now in the Democrat Party would be the one to say, hey, Michelle Obama said it. I'm actually going to live by it. I'm going to take the high road here, and I'm going to stop this now. But no one will do it. No one will be the one to do it. We'll be right back. We got more to discuss on the other side.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/TheGraceCurlyShow. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Oh, just one other thing that makes me laugh about this Jimmy Kimmel. Because everyone's like, it's the First Amendment. It's jokes. Jokes are funny, you snowflakes. One of the people who's making this argument is Mehdi Hasan. Remember him from CNN? I don't know if he still has a show there. But he went on this big monologue about how jokes are important and you don't understand the First Amendment and people have a right to make jokes even if you don't like them. Mehdi Hasan bitched and moaned after Ryan Gerdusky made a joke that he had a beeper on him during a segment on CNN. Ryan Gerdusky's banned from CNN because of that joke that Mehdi Hasan didn't like very much. So I don't think that you're really in a position to be calling anyone a snowflake, Mr. Hasan. I don't think so. The beeper joke didn't sit well with you. So much so that it was like, oh my God, was it a huge deal on CNN, Ryan Gert? It was, you know, a 5-alarm fire. How dare he? How dare he make a beeper joke about Mehdi Hasan, who's an apologist for Hamas? It was like this huge thing. And now he's the one explaining to me how jokes work. The joke police is explaining it to me. I got to work on the yelling, guys. I know. It's just, I don't know what's gotten into me this week. I do apologize.
Second cup of coffee, that's what.
Yeah. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold. Call 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Taylor, what do we got?
Which part of Mayor Wu's climate plan concerns you the most? Decarbonizing restaurants, encourage switch from gas to electric stoves, expand electric vehicle charging stations and encourage EV purchases, or study parking fees, tolls, and congestion
charges? The studying. Anytime they're going to get a task force or a commission to study something, especially tolls, it sends a shiver down my spine.
47% say the fees, tolls, and congestion. 26% say the switch from gas to electric stoves.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Lee Zeldin. But I also want to mention that George Clooney, who's been pretty quiet lately, he's been pretty quiet since that op-ed, you know, where he stabbed Joe Biden in the back, politically speaking. He's now come out to comment on his lame-ass friend Jimmy Kimmel's stupid jokes. And this might not come as a surprise to you, but no comment on that generous donation to the SPLC that was used to fund the Charlottesville hoax. Come on, Clooney, give us the dirt. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
I don't know who you talked to the White House. I'm around the White House, I promise you, a lot more than you are. The president has not talked about this
at all.
Well, I also,
at all. Like, sure. It's on the list of things he gives a you-know-what about, it's down here. But when you go on TV...
The thing that he sent a Truth Social post about this
after morning, it was said, you can respond. And by the way, if this was a joke, Jimmy Kimmel could have immediately been a comedian and said, hey, in light of what happened tonight, that was a joke I apologize for and I'm sorry.
It's
because
Monday.
A real comedian would say,
well,
but he didn't. And you want to know? No, you would do it immediately. At Twitter, I can tweet right now on your show.
But hold on, I think...
Yeah, and Abby Phillip, of course, the moderator at CNN, has to jump in there because Ben Ferguson was making too good of a point. But, you know, one of the other things that I would point out here, Taylor, and I really, there's so many examples of this that Obama just tweeted out about this and said, you know, the administration that was mad about cancel culture is now using the government to pressure these media organizations. It's like if you didn't say anything when the Biden administration was openly talking about how they were pressuring platforms to censor memes and jokes about COVID or any information about COVID, a lot of which ended up being true, then why don't you do us all a favor and shut the hell up? Why don't you? Oh, and Obama, by the way, wasn't there some scandal with like a rodeo clown who had an Obama mask on? And that was the biggest offense known to man. Now they all make jokes about Trump getting assassinated every single day. And it's like, come on, take a joke, guys. It's just a joke. And that's fine. But I'm not going to get lectured on it from you. I'm not going to get lectured on it from the administration that was pushing censorship and acting. And they were bragging about it, acting like it was a great thing. And now all of a sudden, Trump saying, I don't like the joke. I think he should get fired. That's too much. That's where we crossed the Rubicon.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh.
And other people are pointing out Gina Carano, which I forgot about, who was also fired from Disney for not being woke enough. That was another example of when firing people for their opinions or their jokes or their memes or their social media. That was okay because, you know, it fit the narrative. This doesn't fit the narrative. So let me go back to one other thing here, because Jane Fonda is getting involved. Jane Fonda, who has never, ever been able to keep her mouth shut. She always has to get involved. And it's gotten her in a lot of trouble in the past. Hanoi Jane being the first thing that comes to mind. She's come forward. She's part of this First Amendment group that's protecting Jimmy Kimmel. Because, you know, again, he's the victim here. Jimmy Kimmel is always the victim. And I thought it would be worth mentioning that she's protecting Jimmy Kimmel because of this joke that he made. And she's also made jokes like this in the past. So it makes sense why she feels this kinship towards Jimmy Kimmel. Can I have this flashback of Jane Fonda on The View, cut 12?
I'm going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous...
What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that. That's
you don't know. They'll pick up on that and just run with it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding.
Well, let me talk to you about... Let's move on and talk about Jane's activism.
I love Jane's Fonda.
Yes, so that was Joy Behar who chimed in to try to help Jane Fonda walk back that, and I'm using air quotes here, joke, that hysterical joke that she made about murdering pro-life activists. And that would be a way to kind of fight back against these anti-abortion laws or the overturning of, I don't know what the actual impetus for this stupid segment was, but she thinks murder, if it's for pro-life activists, is a good thing. And they were all trying to, they were doing the same thing that the Obama bros were doing with Hassan Piker, which is like, please tell people that when you said you like Hamas, you don't actually like Hamas. And Hassan Piker was like, no, I stand by it. Okay, please tell people you're joking about murdering pro-life activists. And she just sits there. Say just kidding. Please just say just kidding. Please, please, please. Nope, won't do it. And so it makes sense that now Jimmy Kimmel's joking about Melania being an unexpected widow and she thinks that is totally fine. I get it. I understand. You guys have the same sense of humor, I guess. Again, though, do I want him to be fired? No, I want ABC to have to pay him all this money for this sinking ship that is this terrible show. The only thing I'm pointing out is I don't want people who applauded censorship under Joe Biden and who bragged about it to now be clutching their pearls and telling me that I can't take a joke, because I don't really care about your joke. I would like if the jokes were funny. That would definitely help. But save the sanctimonious lectures, okay? Now, this is my favorite cut of the day. I've been saving it and saving it and saving it. I want to give myself enough time here to talk about it. This is Lee Zeldin, okay? He's the EPA chief. He's been floated as being a potential replacement for Pam Bondi as AG. Right now, Todd Blanche is the interim AG. Seems to be doing a good job with his Dr. Doom indictment and some of the recent indictments that we have been talking about. What was the other big one, Taylor, that I just talked about last week? It was a massive indictment that came down from the DOJ. It was 11 charges. How do I remember it was 11 charges and I don't remember the actual story? But anyway, he's been doing good work. And they're saying that Lee Zeldin could be the guy. After watching, and I've always liked Lee Zeldin. He came pretty close with Hochul of kicking her out of there. And not close enough, but for New York, he did a pretty good job of, and I thought he ran a good race. After watching his back and forth with this representative, Rosa DeLauro, who she's
the
lady.
This is the ranking Rizzler.
She's the ranking Rizzler who hates Lee Zeldin almost as much as she hates raw milk.
Don't
and almost.
Take raw milk. It is dangerous to your health.
And really, Taylor, she changed my life. When you think it, not to make it about me. I hate to be like Jimmy Kimmel here, but.
It's big.
I looked at that person and I looked at how much she hated raw milk. And how much she was telling me, don't drink raw milk. And I thought, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And ipso facto, therefore, I don't think I have to use ipso facto and therefore, but I like to together. That means raw milk is my friend. That means the Taylor Cormier. But Taylor Cormier, then it's also kind of like the enemy of my enemy. I don't know. I drank the raw milk and I really liked it, much to Rosa DeLauro's distress. So she was fighting with Lee Zeldin, and I would try to explain to you what they're fighting about, but if she doesn't have to know what she's fighting about, I certainly shouldn't have to do the research. Take a listen to this amazing masterclass put on by Lee Zeldin. Any doubts I had about him as AG, I didn't have many. I want him to be AG now after watching this. Take a listen to cut three.
When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper Bright, Supreme Court case, you're familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask
you. But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative if Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden.
I'm very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year regards to your question.
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now, you just tell
me. You want me to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are of the last few years?
This is what I want you
Michigan
to tell me.
Michigan versus EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second and wait for the questions and answer the question.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is. Because you're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny. You want
No, I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law.
You know,
I read
Chairman,
the Supreme
I don't have
Court
to listen
cases.
To this, and I would say
no,
this.
No, what you should do for your constituents is actually read statutes.
The budget is at real risk.
Read
Let
your
me
Supreme
tell you.
Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you're,
you
you're
come
gonna,
here.
You care about
you
science.
Us,
now you're threatening to defund it?
Oh, my God. No, you don't fund science.
Because you don't know what Loper Bright is. Because
deniers.
You don't know what the major policies
you
doctrine is. Your message
deniers.
To our folks at the EPA is that you want to defund us.
I don't have to listen to this BS.
The BS? You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up a whole lot of
I made up Loper Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
Whoa is right. What are you doing? Why are you helping polluters?
This is amazing. This is amazing for so many reasons. Because, and what I really enjoy about this back and forth is he's exposing something that deserves a lot more attention nowadays, which is that these Democrats, doesn't matter how old they are, like this woman's very, she's like a dinosaur and it still applies to her. They think they are above doing any sort of homework. They think they are too important and actually too brilliant to sit down and read. They think, like, the reading, I'm sure it's boring. Like, he was pointing to these binders. I'm like, ugh, that looks awful to me. I'm sure it's boring. But that is kind of your job. If you're going to argue, and not even argue, Taylor, if you're going to scream about it to this guy's face, and you're going to accuse him of not having the right to say climate change or whatever she's accusing him of saying, he doesn't have the right to say that, and you're going to make these giant accusations, the least you can do is read what you're talking about and have a basic understanding of what you're arguing. It speaks to, again, I know I just went on a rant about this, but it speaks to the arrogance involved. And they think they are too brilliant and too smart and too important to do the boring stuff. And I've talked about this before, just to bring it back here, to weave it back to Boston, but in the city council, it's like they want to talk about putting up a flag for Somalia, or they want to talk about a ceasefire, or, you know, Cardi B Day, or whatever it is, like all these national and international issues. And nobody wants to sit down and look at the budget and say, how can we afford hats for the baseball team? That stuff, like the nuts and bolts of politics, isn't that exciting. And it's not going to make you go viral on TikTok, but it used to be what a lot of these jobs were about. And so if you're going to sit there and all you care about is screaming at someone and going viral, then when someone else has a better understanding of it and actually does do the homework and actually does sit through and comb through in a meticulous fashion these big binders and these big statutes and learns about the facts of the case, you're going to get embarrassed, and you should be embarrassed. They don't want to waste their precious time understanding the issues that they then grandstand about. And their ignorance can be laid bare quite easily with just a few questions. It all comes undone with just a few, hey, do you know what this is? No. It's like Aleppo, Taylor. Do you know what that is? No. No. Do you know about this case? No. Well, for someone who doesn't know what any of these things are, damn, you sure are confident yelling at
me
about it. And we have conservatives, and this is what we have. We've got a pretty deep bench on the Conservative Party, but we also have conservatives who are very diligent and thorough, and they're binder readers. And I would not consider, like, I should say, there are certainly conservatives out there who are not. I think a lot of them have fallen by the wayside as time goes on, like the Matt Gaetzes, people who I think were far more about going viral than they were about doing the work. But we have a lot of guys like this. We have a lot of, and women, we have a lot of people, Elise Stefanik, Marco Rubio, who I think are very comfortable doing the nerdy work behind the scenes and figuring out all of the details and answering questions. And, but here's another really important factor that I want to put in. And I should mention, I'm not one of those people. That's why I host a radio show. I would not be sitting in one of these congressional meetings, Taylor, for hours and hours going through the fine print of what the statute from the Supreme Court said 10 years. That's not my jam.
Oh, that's where ChatGPT would be your friend.
Yes. But I'm also not a congressperson. And I do think if you're a congressperson, like, that is what you sign up for. That should be a bare minimum, is that you have to read the stuff you're going to get all hot and bothered about. But here's the other thing I want to point out, and what I really like about this Lee Zeldin confrontation with De La Rosa, whatever her name is. I like that he's not answering the questions. He's asking the questions. And I really would implore Republicans to do this more often, because, and this is just an example, I'm a huge fan of Marco Rubio. I think that you can just tell when you listen to him talk about these really complicated topics, he has a real depth of knowledge on so many of these things. And that just comes from experience and also from just being a smart person. But oftentimes I'll see him, Taylor, on like Margaret Brennan, right? That's one of the shows he goes on quite a bit. And she'll ask him a question, and he will try to explain things to her. She's always confused. Like, I'm confused about why you did this with Maduro. And then he'll say, you're confused, and then he'll explain it to her. And he'll really dumb it down, and he'll really expose just how confused she really is. But what I like about this interaction is that we don't always have to be the ones answering everything. We can be the ones asking. Like, rather than me explain this issue that you're pretending you don't understand or you're purposely misrepresenting to people, let's figure out how much you understand about it. Let's be the ones asking the questions here and saying, you seem really upset about this issue, so let's give the American people a sense of just how much you know about this thing you're screaming about. Because I have a feeling most people are like this Connecticut congresswoman. Most people, they can't answer the most basic questions about this stuff. And you just need someone like Lee Zeldin to ask the question. So you're going to yell at me about this? Well, let's go back to basics here. Let's talk about this statute. Do you know about that? No. Okay, what about this Supreme Court case? Do you know about that? No. And the more angry they get, the louder they get, the more you realize they're running on fumes. They're running on nothing. Let's start lifting the hood like Lee Zeldin did and seeing how much of this stuff they know. And more importantly, how much of this stuff they don't know. The louder the person gets, the less confident they probably are in the substance of their fight or of their argument, which is definitely true in the case of this woman. And it's also another point in the column of raw milk, because this raw milk thing for me, the more I see this lady who's so team anti-raw milk, I'm going to become raw milk's biggest defender. We'll be right back. We got some more to talk about on the other side.
Don't take raw milk.
More of The Grace Curley Show up next. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Anytime the Queen was involved in a ceremony or anything, my mother would be glued to the television and she'd say, look, Donald, look how beautiful that is. She really did love the family. But I also remember her saying very clearly, Charles, look, young Charles, he's so cute. That's my mother. My mother had a crush on Charles. Can you believe it?
I didn't know, Taylor, that King Charles had any fangirls out there. I really, that's a new one on me. I've heard a lot about King Charles over the years. I did not know that he was some sort of heartthrob back in the day. That's a first. I also wanted to mention that Trump put on Truth Social that Iran has informed him in the U.S. that they are in a state of collapse. They want us to open the Hormuz Strait as soon as possible. And as they try to figure out their leadership situation, which I believe they will be able to do, obviously we'll keep an eye on this. Unclear whether this is going to amount to anything. Although I will say consumer sentiment, just saw from CNBC, is doing much better than expected. I'm sure it wasn't expected to be that great considering all the doom and gloom from the media. One other thing I want to mention, and I know you guys are sick of it. You're like, okay, no more Jimmy Kimmel. I got to bring up one other hypocrisy here. Because now they're all saying, well, Taylor, they have every Jimmy Kimmel's making jokes in the Republicans, you know, and the president. And I put that out on Twitter. I said, what's the difference? He's making jokes. Trump's saying he doesn't like the jokes. What's wrong with that? Well, it's different. The president has a lot of power behind him. Remember when Rachel Campos Duffy said that Dr. Jill was a bad wife and her team came out and demanded an apology from Rachel Campos Duffy? Someone explain to me, what's the big difference here? Howie Carr coming up next.